jewels and springs and tiny gears and not a molecule of silicon anywhere.
I don't want to work on something little. I always like a challenge, something that I have to solve and on my own, you know?
That's a young man from the Bronx, Edwin Laregi, who's keeping an old tech tradition alive, watch repair and watchmaking. Laregi is an apprentice to master watch repairman Terry Irby. Irby trained with his dad trained with his dad. Terry, who today is technical director for Turno's American business, says watch repair offers steady work on mechanical timepieces that are more intricate than ever, despite the age of chips and flat screens.
I have been repairing watches for 50 years now. Started as a small boy with my family. My family's all watchmakers, including my sister and brother and father, who's passed away a few years ago. But we fixed thousands of watches over the last 50 years.
A family of watchmakers.
Family of watchmakers. Yeah. That's how you learn. I mean, there's not many schools, you know, in the 50s and 60s that we had access to. So it was basically the father would teach the rest of the family. Even I have aunts and uncles that pursued this career. It's, you know, sort of an unusual profession that not a lot of people know about. And you can't really learn it unless somebody can really take you under their wing and train you.
Now, Terry, I have this vision of your family. You're all sitting around wearing these magnifiers on your head and trying to...
Well, we all use magnifiers.
Yeah. That's not the name for it, right?
It's an eye loop.
Eye loop, right.
And we all use them. The first thing you do is you have to learn to work under that because the parts are quite small. Some of them are smaller than the head of a pin, of course. But we have to be able to see what we're doing if we're going to fix it or inspect it. We also, of course, back in the 50s and 60s, repaired a lot of clocks. My father was an inspector for one of the local railroad companies in town, and so the people on the train would actually bring their pocket watches in and have my father inspect it. I can remember that as a small boy. None of the electronic gadgets that you see now.
And when you work, what's the background? Is it a black background? Is it a white background?
We actually use a light green background because it's soft on the eye reflection. You don't want light coming back into your eyes all day long. And number one, to do this for 50 years, you have to take care of your eyes.
Yeah.
You have to have a good vision and be able to identify all of these small parts. I mean, there's, you know, 200 or 300 parts in one of these.
And thinking about the parts, what is the most, you know, SLB, tiniest little ornery part that always is getting away from you there?
The part that gets away, and all watchmakers have this problem, there's tiny springs, less than an eighth of an inch long and the thickness of a hair, with about three coils that can jump about 15 feet if you let it get away from you. The spring tension is amazing. So the first thing we do is make sure that we don't lose any parts because it could take me an hour to make a part like that if I lose it. So the first thing you learn, don't lose any parts.
I would have trouble with that.
Everybody has trouble. You have to train yourself and think about it continually. Otherwise, you will lose parts.
Now, up in the Bronx, Edwin Laregi.
Yes.
The idea of watches up there is not so much making them as it is to just sort of selling them.
Just selling them, you're right. Selling them and repairing them. And like they mostly have small jewelry shops and things like that. So it's mostly repair and sell.
How'd you get interested in this?
Well, since I was a little boy, I really was always into breaking things and repairing them, you know, as a little boy.
What's the first thing you broke and repaired?
Actually, it was like I remember breaking my brother's. Like, he had a car, a small toy car.
Mechanical car, yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up, you know, taking out the wheel because I was curious, like, what's inside here, you know? But I ended up fixing it, you know, gluing back the wheel.
And Terry, Edwin has some natural talent here?
He had a lot of natural talent. Within a couple weeks, we could tell because he always wanted the smallest watch we had in the shop to work on.
Right. Really?
I always wanted, like, a challenge. A challenge for me is I'm going to learn more throughout. I don't want to work on something little. I always like a challenge, something that I have to solve and on my own, you know?
Don't give me that big Breitling. I don't care about that. Just give me one of these little Rolexes, these tiny little guys.
Right.
Yeah. And what amazed you about the watch repair process?
In the watch, to me, each part, they each have their own little world.
And it's a world.
Yeah, yeah. The way I put it, it's like a little world. So we have to, little by little, you got to fix each part just to make that one world, right?
Do you have names for the little creatures in that world? Do you? Like the little spring over here? This is Wilbur. And this is
I tend to, you know, make my own little names. And
you do?
Yeah. You have to talk to them, you know. It makes, you know, only makes it fun. You tell them, you know what, I'm going to fix you up.
Really?
I end up doing it, yeah.
I wish you could see his face and his hands moving around here. It's like the springs are all just like standing up.
Yeah,
going,
yeah, because it's
okay,
not.
Okay, Edwin, whatever you want to do.
It's not easy. It's not. You got to have a lot of patience and you have to be very precise.
So what did you notice about Edwin's talent and sensibility? And he already loves the mechanical over the electronic stuff.
He had a passion and a determination to fix it, no matter how long it took. And he would stay there. We'd offer him breaks periodically throughout the day. Edwin really didn't want to take a break. Mm-mm. I said, Edwin, take 15 minutes. Terry, let me just finish this. I almost have it back together. Give me another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes. And that was really, I could see that this young man really had a future in our industry.
And you care about that because, I mean, you know, after you, there's not a lot of,
that's
not
right.
A busload of watchmakers.
No. In fact, our numbers are really declining every year. I mean, we're down to thousands now, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 at most, whereas in the 50s we had 60,000 watchmakers and probably one-tenth the watches. So we really understood the need to really to introduce as many young people as possible to this profession. And that's what we do.
You wearing a watch?
Yeah, I'm wearing a Bulova 23 jewels. It's transportation special.
How about you?
I have a Bulova too that was made in Woodside, New York in, you know, the late 40s, early 50s. I got it on my birthday when I was 12 years old. I wear it a few times a year, but I thought it'd be nice I wear it today. It's sort of an unusual piece, my favorite watch, solid gold case that my father gave me, and it's been a treasure for all these years.
Edwin and Terry, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Terry Irby is the technical director for Tourneau, and Edwin Laregi is a former student of Terry's and a graduate of Tourneau's watchmaking program.